Good morning.
Good morning.
This is kind of a continuation of what I taught a couple weeks ago. And things aren't getting any better. They're getting worse. This is Pride Month. And people are proud of something they shouldn't be proud of. But that's the world we're living in. And it's everything that people are proud of is contrary to the Word of God. And the name of this lesson is Pride Goeth Before Destruction. And our nation is heading for destruction. It's heading for destruction because we're proud. It's not only, it's bad enough that we sin, but when we have pride in our sin and we thumb our nose up at God and say, we're going to do it our way. That's when a nation is judged. And before we get started, I'll be reading a lot of the New Old Testament, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So we see the examples in the Old Testament, and we look to the future for what's going to happen, and we're seeing it happening today. Let's pray. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious and holy word. Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to rely on me, but I can rely on you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be in this place, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we give you praise for your wonderful and complete salvation. Help us to stand. Help us to stand fast in these last days that we're living in. Glory and honor and praise be unto you, Lord Jesus. For I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament is the Word of God concealed. The New Testament is God's Word revealed. And a lot of people have heard that on TV or on the internet. And it's true. In these last days, we see the world proud of everything except for the right things. And you shouldn't have pride at all, but I'm proud of my Savior. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Everyone is prideful today. People are proud of their money. People are proud of their jobs. People are proud of their cars. People are proud of everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4:3 says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." What is the spirit of Antichrist? Pride. We're proud. We're proud of our military. We're proud of this. We're proud of that. Instead of humbling ourselves before an almighty God, we thumb our nose at him. I see street preachers all the time on the road or on the internet. They're out there preaching the gospel. And they get arrested because a homosexual started attacking him, and so they arrest him for inciting. They say, "My God is gay." They blaspheme. They talk evil about my Savior. I don't know about you, but I was born a man. And God says for men to stand. Don't let it into your house. A children's cartoon, My Little Pony, joins the LGBTQRSTUV movement with instructions of lesbian couples aimed at grooming little girls. those little unicorns that children buy at the store, in the satanic world, they represent the Antichrist is coming. It's a white horse. It's got a horn. It's got a rainbow around the horn. Horn is a symbol for a crown. Now, if you look at this in Revelation chapter 6, it says that a man on a white horse shows up. And he's on a white horse and he's got a bow in his hand. I bet you $1 billion that when he shows up, and I ain't got a billion, I'm talking figuratively, that person will have a rainbow bow in his hand. That's how close we are to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is in everything. Cartoons, sexual perversion, and politics. And they want to drive it down your throat. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 3 says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, hence I will bring thee down, saith the Lord." The pride in thine heart. And believe it or not, we are already there. Whenever you hear the news talking about doing something, it's already been done. Nest in the stars, but God's going to bring us down. Entertainers, stars, brag about selling their souls to the devil for fame and fortune. And you see them going around making these symbols, the symbol of pyramid, and they put their little 666 symbol over their left eye because the right eye of the Antichrist is gone, to show you who they believe in and who they worship. Philippians chapter 3 verse 19 says, "Whose end is destruction and whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Are you minding earthly things, or is your heart in heaven? Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49 says, "Behold, this is iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good." God is a God of judgment. We try to make him out to be the God of love and love, love, love. And that's the message of the pride movement. Love, love, love. Except for you, if you're a Christian. They hate your guts. They want your children. They want to take your children away from you. And I'm not exaggerating one bit. We're getting closer to war. India just manufactured a hypersonic missile to carry nuclear weapons. And you're talking about a people, Hindus, they think that they're going to be reincarnated 120 times before they get it right. So do the math. Sodomites controlled government. Our Sodomite controlled government are deceiving the people by showing their good side on television, but only for the exploitation of your mind. You're being brainwashed in this world. You say, "Well, I'm saved. I can't be brainwashed." Yes, you can. You allow sin to get into your life, and that sin will grow, and it'll separate you from God. There is a battle for the minds of Christians. They are aware by putting it, you're aware of it because they're putting it in your face time and time again. Years ago, when certain celebrities got on TV and they exposed that they were gay, the American public said, "No, we don't want that. We don't want that in front of our kids." Well, what's the difference now? We got them flocking. We got men kissing men. We got women kissing women. We got all kinds of sexual perversions on TV. In your face. So why do they do that? Because it desensitizes you to what they're doing. And after a while, you accept it. You look at the Benjamites in the book of Judges. Probably one of the leaders of Benjamites decided he was going to have a sexual perversion. So he decided, he's kind of high up, so we're going to leave him alone. And next thing you got one, two, three more. And pretty soon the whole tribe is defending homosexuality. And it takes the 11 tribes of Judah, or 11 tribes of Israel, to go against. And they wipe them out almost to extinction, but they allow about 600 men to survive. God does not communicate with your thoughts and your emotions. God communicates with you through the Word of God. For years, I've seen preachers get up and tell the world what a bad boys they are and were, and that by getting saved, that all made it right. I disagree with that kind of philosophy. You should never tell your children what you were before you got saved. Because what happens is you pollute your children's minds. Well, they got away with it. Maybe I can too. So they take on the characteristics that you hate, and they start doing those characteristics. I've seen preachers that I have the utmost respect for. Their kids turn out terrible because they got up and they disclosed everything that they ever did, and that's wrong. You confess your sins to the Father, not to anyone else. You want to drive people away, just tell them what kind of person you were before you got saved. They don't want to be around you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That's where every Christian should be. How do you do that? You start building walls. The world hates walls. They want all the walls tore down, but you should be building walls around your family. These walls keep out, and they also keep in. It's a rule of separation. "Be ye holy, for I am holy," the Lord says. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, it says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And that answer is very, very few. We're in a world that's taking the minds of our youth. They're starting with our youth. They've introduced these electronic devices. They got young people with bones growing out the back of their heads because they're down here like this, and it's causing calcium buildups in the back of their head. So they're developing horns. It's a phenomenon that just happened recently. You can go on the news and look at it. But people are mesmerized by their telephones. Now, can you imagine that if you're my age, that you were mesmerized with a telephone? They take millennials, they can't even dial a phone. But they can look up every indecent thing that ever existed. Jeremiah chapter 5 says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love it so. They want to be deceived. People have this idea that if I'm deceived, then I'm not responsible. You have the Word of God available to you. Everyone is responsible. We sit like mindless zombies looking at a screen while they work their magic on your mind. They are destroying your body in the process. And some of you that watch the internet knows that this is happening. Cancer rates are skyrocketing. We are so far gone that we know what is happening, but we cannot stop it and will not stop it. Every one of us need prayer. We need to pray for each other. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21, it says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my word, then they should have turned from their evil way and from their evil of their doing. Am I not a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? We need to be talking to the Lord. We need to guard our hearts. We need to watch what we say, what we do. And we should judge everything by the Word of God. Behold, in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. That's the world we're living in today. Verse 8 of that same chapter says, the way of peace they shall know not. When's the last time America has seen peace? They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. The crooked path, if you ever went down a crooked path, you can't see very far until the next, you can only see as far as the next curve. And it's like this. And every time you go around the corner, you got something else facing you. And you got something else facing you. And pretty soon you get tired and you get weary. But if you got a straight path that you're walking, you see the goal, you see the where we're going and how we're going to get there, and everything that's on the side doesn't matter, but I'm pressing on to the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. We have to guard our minds. In this day and age that we live in, don't let your morals slip because you're accommodating someone in your family. Don't let your morals slide because of pressure of your coworkers and your bosses. I got a letter this week, and I answered letters for the pastor, and I was working on until about 9:30 last night. And it's amazing how many people want to know. I feel sorry for the pastor, but there's a few of us in here helping him. But a lady was telling me about her friend and her husband. He lost a job because they wanted him to put a flag up that was contrary to his belief. So he quit the job. God bless him. Let God be true and all men liars. We worry about the world and what they're going to think. I don't care. No one's ever cared about what they say about my Savior. You wouldn't believe what they do, or say, call my Savior. The wicked, selfie, self-worshipping generation only wants to have their ears tickled, so they go from church to church finding someone who's going to agree with them. If you're doing that, you better stop it. You better humble yourself, confess your sins, repent, and come to the Lord. Because our days are numbered. We see this battle about ready to break loose in Iran. And this is not going to be an ordinary battle. Believe me, every nation that stood for the Lord and then repented of that stand doesn't fare well in battle. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient, to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent." That word incontinent means they don't have any self-control of their sex life. They don't have any control of what they want to do to your children. Fierce. That means savage. Me and Ronnie Crane was talking about that this week. The world has become savage. Despisers of those that are good. That is a big one. We even have this problem everywhere. But as soon as they find out you're a Christian, they don't want part of you. So be it. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They're putting those cell phones in your children because by 2030, they want to have that technology in your children. Now let that sink in. They want that technology in your children so they can control their minds. And believe me, they have the technology to do it. They start you out with a cell phone or computer screen. And they get these kids wandering on these computers and they start looking at things that they shouldn't look at. So they got their mind. Then they give them a little cell phone where they can carry it around with them all the time and look at this pornography and all this other garbage that's on the internet. And then they're walking into walls, falling into running into buildings, falling into ponds, you know, whatever. But they can't take their eyes off that. A lot of us, we can't even leave the house without our cell phone because we're afraid we're going to break down. We're trusting our cell phones to get us out of it. What kind of faith in God do we have? But then they're working on technology, and they've already started where they put the little thing on your wrist. They got your cell phone on your wrist. And now they're even coming up with tattoos and chips that they're putting on your hand. And these tattoos are actually doing the same thing that chip does. Your body ingrates it into your system. That's an upgrade. That's how you upgrade. And everybody wants to be upgraded. Everybody wants a new cell phone. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. And then coming out with 5G. And that 5G is putting out more radiation on your children and sending out more high frequencies than you have right now. And then it's going to go to 6G by a flip of the switch. They say they can control your thoughts by this technology. They can implant thoughts in your mind through this technology. You are connected to the internet. It'll make you super. It'll make you powerful. The Bible says that your soul belongs to the devil. They say you'll no longer be human, that you'll be an android. And this is people trying to sell the stuff, is saying this. God says to repent. Call out to Him and be saved or go to a devil's hell. God does not need you to live. God is eternal. But you sure need Him. If you don't have Him, you don't have life. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. We hold fast. We become unmovable. In 1947, it seems like that was a year when all this stuff started coming into fruition. Right after World War II, in Nazi Germany, during the war, they established 42,000 camps. Concentration camps, work camps, ghettos, for the sole purpose of working people to death and then killing them. In 1945, at the end of the war, the Jews did not want to settle in Eastern Europe or Western Europe. They wanted to get out of there. When they got out of the concentration camps, the only thing they ran into is hatred. The Poles hate them. And the Poles used to be friendly to the Jews. The German people hated them. They were killing them on the streets. And so they decided they had to leave. So they made an exodus to Israel. And in 1947, the United Nations partitioned a part of the land for Israel. But if you go back a little bit farther, right after 1917, Israel was given the state of Palestine, which went from one place to another, and it was big. Then Churchill decided in 1923, we're going to take this portion of the land away from that and give it to the Egyptians. So that's where Transjordan come in. And then when the Jews went into Israel, they partitioned a smaller piece of land. They divided the land. You want to know why England has never recovered and how it's just constantly going downhill and why we're going downhill? You don't mess with the Jews. You don't mess with God's land. In 1947, UFOs show up. Roswell, Texas, they claim they captured a crashed UFO. After that, technology kind of boomed. All of a sudden, they had transistors and they had digital computers and they had all this other stuff come online. Pastor talked about Kenneth Arnold. He saw a fleet of UFOs. 1947, Admiral Byrd, in his log, claimed that he was abducted while traveling over the Antarctic. And the UFO captured him and took him down into the earth. And he talked to a guy named Master, which was a giant. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed giant, fair-skinned. Well, you say, I don't believe that. I think that's just a novel. I don't think it's really true. Well, the government's telling you now that UFOs are real. They lied to you for 70 years. Satan, when you start looking at all this stuff going on in the churches, 1947, Satan went from covert to overt. And if you don't know what that means that he went from under, sneaky, now he's out in the open. Seances, spiritualism blossomed where they wouldn't allow them in there before. Is America being set up? Is the world being set up for the Antichrist? In 1947, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, began. 1947, the Truman Doctrine to stop the spread of communism. 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls showed up, verifying that the Word of God can be trusted. 1947, the sound barrier was broken. 1947, and I like Eisenhower. The more I read about him, the more I like him. I mean, he wasn't a perfect man, but he raised $170 million back in 1947 to help the Jews. 1947, President Truman signs the National Security Act of 1947, establishing the Department of Defense, the CIA, the National Security Council of Joint Chiefs of Staffs. All this war machine got bigger. In 1947, Operation Paperclip moved hundreds of German scientists, psychologists that were efficient in propaganda, and doctors, the same ones that worked in these concentration camps, were brought to this country. In 1947, Billy Graham began his own evangelist rallies across the country. And then shortly thereafter, the ecumenical movement started. The World Council of Churches. That's been 72 years ago. Now, I want you to think about some. In the satanic world, the number 72 is very magical to them. Doesn't mean nothing to me. If you look on the back of your dollar bill and you see the pyramid and you count the number of blocks, it's 72 blocks. In this, it means 6, 6 plus 6. Equals 72, 666. They believe that their God is coming. The top one, the I, represents the Antichrist. The world is looking for someone to come in a UFO and land and guide this world out of all of its problems. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us what these things are. He says, in verse 2, he says, "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, And I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Now, I believe a cubit is a lot longer than what We say 18 inches, but actually a cubit can go all the way up to 25 inches. That would make this craft 40 feet long, 20 feet wide. It looks like a roll. You would say it's a tic-tac. The military has been having problems with tic-tacs. And they say that these crafts are 40 feet long and 20 feet wide. And people don't read their Bibles to find out that the Bible says this is the curse. He says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. And the ones who steal. But it goes a little further. It says in verse 5, it says, and the angel talked with me and said, with me, went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is in that goeth forth. This is an ephod. Well, what's an ephod? Well, you look it up, you find out an ephod is a plate that they used to measure things on a scale. It's a dish. Or you might say it's a saucer. So what does the Bible say about this? He says, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And they're seeing them come out of the sea. They're seeing them come out of the earth. They're seeing them come out of volcanoes. They're seeing them come out of everywhere. And our government says, yeah, they exist. So you better wake up. Time is running out. We're about to be called home. The Bible says this is wickedness. It talks about having two women beings with wings like a stork. A stork is a foul bird. It's evil. But it also says that they have a base where they stay and they fly in and out of. It says in verse 11, it says, to build it a house in the land of Shinar. Where are we at right now? About ready to go to war? And already been at war? The land of Shinar. Is something about ready to break loose? In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, it says, and I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Well, that means the sea of the world. Really? They see UFOs coming out of the sea. They see UFOs coming out of the earth. They see things coming out of the space that they can't answer for. This is the Antichrist that comes up out of the sea. You know, I Google Earth all the time, and I find things in the ocean that is kind of an anomaly. There's things that are 7 miles wide, round, and they're traveling. It travels, and you can see the path on the bottom of the ocean where these things are maneuvering through and around different parts of the ocean. And they go hundreds and hundreds of miles. Bet you never seen that on Fox News. The dragon comes up out of the air, because he's a prince and power of the air. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they said about the beast, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? Could it be that we're about ready to see this creature show up? Verse 8, you say, well, where's the church during this time? Verse 8 tells you, and all that dwell upon the earth, that means all that dwell upon the earth, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. That's us. We're gone. Then another thing shows up. He comes up out of the earth, and he's called the false prophet. Pastor preached on this a few weeks ago, but the Islams think that their Mahdi is going to come and Jesus Christ, their Jesus Christ is going to come and kill all the Christians that don't turn to Islam. And he says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He calls it the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We are about ready to go home. If you go by chronological order in the Bible, which you can't take Revelations and do chronological, you can't do it. It's impossible. And next week I'll be teaching again. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 15. And like again, we'll be going all over the Bible. But there is hope. There is joy. I wrote somebody yesterday and I said, it's exciting to live in the day and age that we live in, because we are going to see the Son of God coming in His glory for His church. We're going to be taken out of here, but the world is going to get rough, and you got to learn to stand. In Revelation chapter 4, 1, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." That emerald, if you look at this and you look at the breastplate of the high priest and you take those stones, the first one is a jasper. It represents Reuben. If you look at the next one, it's the sardine stone. And then you look at the next one, it's the last stone. Reuben, Judah, and Benjamin. Those words mean, behold a son, praise him, the son of my right hand. That's what they mean. One day we're going to stand face to face with him and we're going to give an account of how we lived our lives and how we lived by this book. And it's difficult. It's a battle. But don't let the world win your mind. Stand true to the Word of God. Eschew evil. Let's pray. Our dear and Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Lord, we need it. I need it. Everyone needs it. We're living in the last days and these last times, and we're seeing the world. We're seeing parts of our family go in the way of unrighteousness, in the way of the devil and his angels have taken them away. Lord, we pray, restore such ones. And Lord, heal our minds. Help us to put our trust and hope in you and nothing else. And Lord, help us not to fear. Help us to stand. Help us to stand fast in these last days. Lord, I want to keep my rewards. I don't want to lose them at the last minute. I want to keep them, hold on to them, and I'm not going to let them go. I pray that everyone here and those who are lost need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. We love you, Lord, and we're looking for your coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord and Savior. Amen.